First Kings, third chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. I'm going to start reading in verse number five. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to set on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." Let us pray. Father, again today, I thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, what you've done here today. You're good, you're gracious to us in all the services that went on, the Sunday school hour, Lord, children's churches, all that went on, Father. I thank you, and I trust it was pleasing unto you. Now, once again tonight, this preacher needs your wisdom, and I need your power. I just need you, Father, and ask that you do what's needful to be done in all of our hearts tonight, and we'll remember to praise you for it, thank you for it. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching a message tonight, which I've entitled, "Asking for the Right Thing." Asking for the right thing. Before David died, even before he died, he made his son Solomon king. I want to go back just to read a few verses in chapter 1, verse 39 and 40. Chapter 1, he says, "And Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, 'God save King Solomon.' And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them." This was before actually David died. And he saw to it that his son Solomon was anointed as the king. Now in chapter 2, you will notice starting at verse number 1 that David gives Solomon some instructions. And he says, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, 'I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself.'" You notice here that David gave some instructions to his son Solomon. They was good instructions. Basically, what he was telling me is, you walk with God. Now, you keep the commandments of God. That's good instruction for anybody. And that's the instructions that he was given him. And he says, and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. And Solomon, you know what they are because they was written in the law of Moses. So Solomon, you keep them. Now this is a daddy giving his son some instructions. David about ready to die, give up the kingship, and his son about ready to take over. So we see, and I'm not going to go down all through these scriptures, but if you will read on down after that, you'll find that he gave him some other instructions. There was some people in his kingdom that had give him problems, David problems. So he gave him some instructions what to do about it. Joab was one of them in verse 5 and 6. Barzillai was another in verse 7. And Shimei, verse 7 and 8, he gave him some instructions. Now Solomon, when he came to the reign and began to reign, he began to deal with these things. He dealt with Adonijah in verse 24. He dealt with Abiathar. He took him away from the priesthood in verse 26. And he dealt with Joab. Joab had Joab killed. And Benaiah, he made the chief captain there in verse 36. Zadok, he made the priest. And Shimei, he had him killed because of his disobedience. Now, it's kind of like, you know, our new president. He's getting new cabinet members. And this is kind of the way it was with Solomon. He was placing some people in places that would help him instead of hinder him. Now, the only difference with ours is I don't think Mr. Bush is killing any of them, but he's certainly removing some of them and putting new ones in. That's what he is doing. But here, David, he just said, Solomon, just get rid of these. These are going to give you trouble. They're going to give you trouble down the road, so just get rid of them. And he saw to it. And they had, and they should have been. They had done some terrible things. And so according to the law there and the way they handled things, he got rid of some of them, he replaced some of them, and got ready for his reign over the kingdom there of Israel, okay? Now look in verse number, chapter 2, verse 46. At the end of that it says, and the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. In other words, things are now set. Things are all ready for him to begin his reign. And he said, now the kingdom is established. He's ready to go about leading the people there and take over the leadership from David, because David then did die. Okay? And then we see in chapter 3, Solomon begins his reign. I'm going to read verse 1 through 3. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Solomon immediately made a great mistake. He made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he took Pharaoh's daughter. Now, a lot is not said about it here, but that was a big mistake from Solomon to do. And then, of course, he said that they was going to build the house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. And only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. There wasn't a place to sacrifice, so they went up to the high places and they sacrificed. Now that could have been in some sense bad, because that's where they went up and sacrificed a lot of times, false sacrificing and all that stuff. But I don't think in the sense here, I think it was something they just did. They went up to the higher places, and Solomon here was worshiping God the best he knew how. And the reason I believe that, because God met him up there. And we'll find out there in verse number 4, and King went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. And then we come to the place, of course, in verse number 5, we come to the place where God met Solomon there. And a great thing happened there, and it's what I want to deal with tonight. I want to share with you tonight, and I trust tonight what you'll get from this message is, I want you to ask this coming year for the right thing. I want you to get your priorities right and ask God for the right thing. We have a lot of things to pray for, and it's okay if we ask our God about those things. It's okay. But there's certain things that take priority. And you and I need to ask God for the right thing. Okay, as Solomon did here. And so we're going to deal with that as the Lord appeared to him here in Gibeon, and he appeared to him and he just said, ask what I shall give thee. He just says to Solomon, Solomon, you're going to be taking over the kingdom here. What do you want? What's your need? What would you like me to do for you? That's quite a wonderful thing that God came to him and talked to him about that. So what he's doing basically, if you get right down to it, he's testing Solomon's heart. Says, Solomon, what's important to you? What do you want? What can I do for you? He said, just ask what I shall give thee. Now, let me share you a couple of verses of scripture out of Psalms. Psalm 7:9 says, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and the reins. Now, the reins is kind of like the inward self. It's you. What do you want? What do you desire? The heart is kind of speaking about our will, and are we willing to turn our will over to God instead of being our will? And so God says that the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. Folks, he doesn't do that just for David the king. I believe he does that for every one of his children. The Bible says in Psalms 26:2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Listen, prove me, he says. Try my reins and my heart. Prove me. And I believe that's what God is doing here with Solomon. He's proving him. He's saying, Solomon, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to give you? And so anyway, what he was doing is trying Solomon. I think he tries you and I, folks. I think he tries us. Now, his trying of Solomon revealed some things about Solomon. Now, I know if you go on down through the life of Solomon, you find out that Solomon made a lot of mistakes. He really made a lot of mistakes. But listen, I want you to see Solomon as he first came to the kingdom for just a few moments. I want you to notice in verse number 6 in chapter 3. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. The first thing I notice about Solomon is he was grateful for the past blessings. He said, boy, you've been good to my father, David. You gave him a kingdom. You've been good to him. You know, once again, our hearts, if God tries our hearts, he wants to find it a heart that is grateful for what God has done. Amen. Now, folks, listen. I know, you know, we say this, preachers say it, you shake your head and all this, but listen to me. God has been good to us. Amen. Has he not? Yes. And even in all of the troubles, David had troubles. But let me tell you, David thanked God for what he had done for him. And here we find Solomon the son looking back and saying, boy, God has been good. God has been good to us. You know, not all things worked out the way we wanted them, but God has been good. And we see that Solomon was thankful and grateful for past blessings. Not only that, he was grateful for present blessings. Because if you read there, he said, now you've taken me and replaced David, the king, and you've put me in his place, his son. He said, boy, that's wonderful. He was grateful for what God was doing in his life. See, that when God tries the heart, he looks for gratefulness, thanksgiving. Amen? Now, folks, get a hold of it. God's looking for a folk who is thankful and grateful for what God has done in the past and what he's doing in the present. Because, you see, you've heard your preacher say it. God is always good. He's always good. Never is he not good. If you in your heart say, oh God, I've been times God's not been good to me, you don't know the God I know. Because it may have been a time when, you know, God needed to do some things in your life and my life to move me in such a way as I would understand that I needed some changing. So was God good? Yes, he was good. God was good. And so Solomon understood that, and then he knew that he must depend on the Lord for future blessings. If you look at verse 7 at the end, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. You see, Solomon looking, he said, you know, if I don't have God, I'm not going to make it. I can't do this which God asked me to do. You see, Solomon is grateful for the past, for the present, and he's saying, I can't make it through the future unless God is going to help me. All right? You can't either. I can't either. See, we need to recognize we need God's help for the future. And then in verse number 7, at the end of it, he said, he said, I know not how to go out or come in. And I see in Solomon there a humble spirit. What God is looking for, whether you understand or not, God's looking for a humble spirit. And let me say to you, Solomon had a humble spirit. He said, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. I can't do it without your help. What a humility before God. Humble spirit before God, you see. And then he revealed his answer to what to God on what could I ask for reveals to me what was most important to Solomon. And it was in verse number 8, he says, he said, I cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Do you understand? Do you have some understanding that Solomon could have asked for anything? And the one thing he asked for was that he'd have an understanding heart so he could judge the people. No, I mean, think about it. God said you would just ask. What would you ask? Let us ask us. What would we ask if God said, ask anything you want? Anything tonight you want. What would it be? That's an awesome thing. And Solomon said, you're going to put me in a position of the king, and I need wisdom. I need understanding. That's what I need more than anything else. I need know how to judge the people and care for the people. That's what he said. Amen. You know, to some degree, if you ever think about it, you know, some degree God has already done that to us too. Listen to this. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know what God's saying? Just ask. Seek. Knock. You know, some degree I know the whole situation's different. You know, some degree he's doing the same thing to us he done to Solomon. He's saying, what do you want? What's in your heart? What's most important to you? And let me say this to you. Much is revealed about our spiritual condition by what we ask for. See, I don't know what you ask for, so I can say that openly. I don't know what you ask for. I don't know what's most important for you. I don't know what your priorities of life is. But much is revealed about our spiritual condition by what we go to God for and asking for. Amen. So, you know, do we go back and look and realize and understand the past blessings like Solomon did? Do we understand as we go to God in prayer, prepare to ask, do we understand how great God is and how good he's been to you and I? Amen. Solomon did. Do we understand, you see, do we understand the present blessings that God has poured upon us right now? No, each and every one of us, do you understand the present blessings that God has given you and I? Is that within your life? Do you think about that? Do you consider that? Do you consider the past? Do you consider the present? Are we also dependent on him for the future, like Solomon was? Do we have that understanding that we cannot make it without God? Amen. You know, I used to use an illustration sometimes when I was preaching. I think about, you know, we all probably, at least some folk, have a freezer out there, and we have it full of meat or something. We got stuff in it, and we got things that we can eat and all that. Where is our dependence? Is our dependence on that, in that freezer, or in God? You know, we can have all those things stacked up and say, well, we don't have to worry about it. Oh, shoot, that could be taken away in a moment's time. God could just unplug it if he wanted to. I went down to the barn the other day and my cows and unplugged the heater in the tank on the water. I don't know how they done it. They pulled it out. They're rascals. They like to play around with everything. But anyway, it was just laying on the ground there and the water was froze. You see, anything can happen. But, you know, with God, it don't make any difference. We have him. We trust in him. You see, that's why God wants our trust in us. There's nothing wrong with having a freezer. There's nothing wrong with having some of them things. I'm just simply saying, don't put your trust in them. Remember, your future depends on God. Amen. I see people, because I'm more aware of that now. You get up near my age, you get a little more aware of some of this thing. I see people thinking, well, what am I going to do in the future? What's going to happen, you know? And maybe I don't have so much retirement as I would like to have, and all of this and that. There's God. No, I'm just telling you, there's God. Oh, I know, we fret, we worry, and we think, what in the world? No, there's God. Don't you think he's got everything planned? Do you think he can take care of you in the future? I think, wasn't Jack Hiles used to say that, as long as God's still living, I'll be all right? He said, if God don't die, I'll be all right. Well, it's true. Amen. And he ain't going to die. Amen. So I'm just simply saying, like Solomon did, you and I need to realize that our future is dependent on him. Amen. And we also ought to approach God as Solomon did, with a humble heart. With a humble heart. Folks, he said, I can't do it. No, he said, I can't do it. It's impossible for me to do it. You understand what I'm saying? I can't do that. I need you. And that's humility. See, recognizing we can't make it, you see, without him. And then it also realizes what we ask for absolutely reveals what's important to us. Understand? Is it important to you that you be a good Sunday school teacher this coming year? That you have God's power on your life? Is it important, preacher, that you be a good pastor? That you need wisdom and guidance from God Almighty to be the right kind of pastor? Do you think I need that? I do. I need that. Is that more important than the silver and the gold? Yes, it is. It's much more important. Amen. And the ministry that you have, it's more important that you have from God what you need than all the silver and the gold. Those things are important, you see. So what, Brother Ross, what? Well, let me share something with you. Look at verse number 10, chapter 3. And he says, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. I want to tell you something. If it pleased God, that's really something. He pleased God. You see, it pleased God. You see, he tried his heart. He tried his reins and his heart. And it pleased God that Solomon said, that's what I want. Now, don't you think we ought to try to please God? Don't you think if it pleased God in Solomon here, don't you think that we ought to also ask those things, ask the right things that would please God? Amen? Sure. And so what do we need? Well, you and I need wisdom. And that's basically what I want to share with you tonight, is, folks, you and I need wisdom more than anything else. I'm going to show you that that's what you need. We're going to go to the book of Proverbs for a few moments. What basically Solomon was asking for was wisdom. I need wisdom. I want to share with you tonight, there's not a person out here tonight that does not need wisdom more than they need anything else. It is the principal thing. Say, well, you need to be a preacher, a pastor, but I need wisdom. What do you need, Brother Johnny, to be the sheriff of Sullivan County? More than anything else, you need wisdom. Yes, you do. You need wisdom. You businessmen, you know what you need? You need wisdom. You need God's wisdom. You workers, you housewives, you moms, you dads need God's wisdom. It's the principal thing that you need. You college students, you were and you are gaining knowledge, and I thank God for that, but you don't get wisdom at college. You get it from God. And you need to ask God for wisdom every day of your life. And one of the things that I hope will happen here tonight is to stir some folk to asking God for wisdom every day of their life. You need it. I need it. That's the principal thing. Amen. Chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs. Let me start reading verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Now, folks, did you hear what God said? God said you and I need to seek wise counsel. Wise counsel. And he said, if we're a man of understanding, we will do that. We will seek wise counsel. I've told you this before. I don't talk about it a lot, but I have certain preachers that I confide in, that I talk to when I have a need. When I wonder if this is a decision should be made or not, I call and I seek for wise counsel. Because it's right for me to do that. Because God said to. I'd be a foolish man if I did not do that. And you need to seek wise counsel. You young people, whether you understand it or not, you just don't know everything. In fact, you don't know a whole lot yet. And you need wise counsel for the future. You see. And you need to seek it from wise people who has wisdom to give you counsel. To understand a proverb and an interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instructions. It's amazing because I don't like to call people fools, but I feel like it sometimes when people come and seek for counsel and turn it aside and don't want it, don't want the instructions, don't want anybody to give them any kind of instructions, and all I can think of is God says you're a fool. That's what God says. Amen. You need to hear, you need to learn, you need to hear instructions, you see, and you need to not despise wisdom, as the Word of God says here. It said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Did you hear that? Did you hear, young people, that God said for you? Listen, look at me. Did you hear that God said that you're to hear the instructions of your father? Did you hear that? And the law of your mother. Now, why is it you think you can go around that and you don't have to do that? Now, what's the matter with you? The Word of God says that you listen to the instructions of your father. Now, you know who will do that? A wise person. A fool won't. The law of your mother. The father puts the laws down and instructions down, and the mother puts them into practice and rule at home and puts them into action. So whatever has been set up and your mother takes a hold of it and says, I'm doing what daddy says we ought to do around here, you better listen to her. Understand? Now, why do you think you can go against God's word? You see, you need to seek counsel. Wise counsel. You need to listen to your mother and father's instructions because God said to. Amen. And then it says, and they shall be an ornament of grace on thy head and a chain about thy neck. I didn't bring a chain tonight. I've got a big old 10-foot chain out there. big old log chain. I ought to have brought it tonight. But basically what God's saying is, it'll be well evident, the ornament of grace on your head will be seen. And that chain about your neck will be recognized. What he's saying is that it'll be seen in your life. If you'll seek the wisdom of God through your parents and through other wise counsel. If I walked around with this thing on my head, would you not take note? And that's kind of basically what God is saying. Noted of those who refuse to. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Sure. Look over in chapter 1, verse 20. It says, wisdom crieth without the utter, without, and she uttereth her voice in the streets. In other words, wisdom is always crying to all of us, seek me. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you in my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I've called and you refused, and I've stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. I'm not going to continue to read, but what he's saying, wisdom cries out constantly to every one of us, won't you listen? God is crying out today to young people all over this America, won't you listen to my counsel? Won't you listen to the wisdom that I've put in place for you to listen to? You have mother and fathers, listen. You have preachers that'll give you counsel. You have other godly men and godly women that'll give you godly wisdom. I don't want you, any of you, giving counsel to people unless you're going to give godly counsel.
Amen.
Your things, your thoughts, and your ideas don't mean a hoot, just like mine don't. It's what God says that means something. Amen. So again, I'm saying to you, young people, you listen, you hear, because wisdom is always crying out. How long are you going to be simple? How long are you going to act like fools? See, God is saying, listen to me. Listen to the wisdom. We could go to chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. See, God said wisdom is something you ought to seek for, like you would seek for a hidden treasure. They spend years sometimes going out into the oceans and places where that they have had shipwrecked and great treasures has been sunk to the bottom, and they spend years sometimes seeking for it. God says, seek for wisdom just like you would a treasure that was hid. Don't ever stop asking. Young people, listen to me tonight. I'm for you. Don't ever stop asking for God for wisdom. And listen to him as he speaks. Amen. Just listen to him. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. I just want to say something to you. You're not going to get wisdom anywhere else. You're not going to buy it at Kmart. You're not going to buy it at Walmart. You're not going to attain it in college. You got to get it from God.
Amen.
You can learn a lot of things in college and be blessed and helped and all of those things. But if you want wisdom, you're going to have to get it from God. Because that's where it comes. It comes out of the mouth of God, out of his word, and out of God. He gives us wisdom. Amen. You and I need that. In verse number, chapter 4, just for a moment, chapter 4, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. And we could just keep reading, but God said wisdom is the principal thing. Young people, listen to me. You need wisdom more than you need anything else. ask God every day for wisdom? Will you do that? Will you just say, preacher, I'm going to ask God every day for wisdom and mean it in my heart and be willing to accept it? Because that's what you need. You need God's wisdom. I'm not talking about man's wisdom. I'm talking about God's wisdom. You need God's wisdom. You can't get it any other way. God's the only one who can give it to you. Amen? Now, wouldn't it be a wise thing if you just ask God every day when you get up, just give me wisdom, God. Your wisdom, and I'm willing to listen. You don't go to God and say, I want wisdom, and then decide what you're going to do. You listen to God and you mind God. You do what God says and you seek the wisdom of God, you see, because it's the principal thing. It's not just for these young people. It's for every person out here. You and I need wisdom. I need wisdom. You need wisdom. Amen. So we could just keep on and keep on, but let me just show you here real quick in chapter 5. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow down thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of strange women drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as woodworm, and sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from thee, and come not nigh to the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor and with others, and the years unto counsel. Let strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of strangers. Do you understand what God is saying? Wisdom will keep you from evil. Wisdom will keep you from sin. You need wisdom for all things, and wisdom will turn you from the evil way. See. So we find that Solomon asked for the very right reason. He said, I want that so that I can lead your people, God. I need wisdom, and God made him the wisest man that ever walked the face of this earth. Oh, I know that Jesus is wiser. I understand that. I'm talking about man. Solomon was a wise man. God gave him wisdom. I'm saying to you that wisdom absolutely is necessary. You and I must have it. Now, are you going to start asking God for wisdom? Don't be a foolish person and reject wisdom that God has for you. Don't do that. Seek the wisdom of God. Have you ever heard it said, well, you know, that person has wisdom beyond their years? You ever heard that saying? You know the reason? It's because they sought it. The only way you're going to get wisdom is if you seek it. And that pleased God, the wisdom of God. For people to seek after the wisdom of God pleases God. You see, I think you need wisdom. I need wisdom. I need it as a pastor, but I need it also for my home. You need it to raise your children with. You need it to establish your home and for your home to go right and do right. You need wisdom. You need God's wisdom. You need to know, as it said in the scriptures, to know what is good and what is bad. You need to know that. And God will give you that wisdom. You'll know what is right and what is wrong. Many things we know now, what is right and what is wrong, and we reject it. We want to do our own thing, so we reject it. But God gives us wisdom to know what is right, what is wrong. God will tell you what to do, what is godly, if you seek his wisdom. You understand? I want to show you, going back over here for just a moment or two, back over in the book of Kings, 1 Kings 3rd chapter. I want you to look at verse number 11. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches, that's in chapter 3, 1 Kings, verse 11, and hast riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. You know what he done? Solomon went completely against what the flesh would ask. No, completely. Because the flesh would not have asked that. The flesh, I believe, would have asked exactly what God said he didn't ask for. It asked for the silver and the gold. He would ask for honor. He would ask for his enemies to be destroyed. That's what the flesh would ask for. But Solomon said, God, I just want wisdom. I want understanding, discernment on how to rule your people, what to do. Amen. Now Solomon went through some tough times, difficult times, but God gave him the wisdom to know what to do and how to handle it, you see. And so we find that his heart desired the things of God. I'm afraid too many times we want the other things more than we want wisdom. See, what the principle here is simply this. You ask for wisdom and God will take care of giving you other things. That's what God did. God said, all right, you asked for wisdom, so I'm going to take care of you. I can even extend your life if you do right, if you walk according to the commandments that David walked to. And I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to make you honorable. God decided to do that on top of the wisdom. That does not mean he's going to make everybody rich if they are wise, but he went ahead and gave it to him. And if you know the story of Solomon, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but that was his downfall. The honor and riches was his downfall because he didn't use the wisdom that God gave him to handle the riches and the honor. And what I'm saying is you've got to take wisdom that God gives you and put it into, let it be a part of your life and absolutely use it. Solomon didn't. You turn to chapter 11, and Solomon did not use wisdom. He married all kinds of concubines and wives, and his heart was turned from God. Why? Because he did not apply the wisdom that God gave him to his own life. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what this preacher's saying? Folks, you need wisdom, but you need to have it, and you need to apply it on a daily basis. Every day. Apply the wisdom that God gives you. Amen. Because he wants to give you. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to ask for wisdom? Are you going to seek the wisdom of God? That's what the scriptures tells you and I to do. Okay? Get off of the pride horse. Get humble before God. Say, God, I just need you. I need your wisdom. I need to know what to do today because I don't know what to do. Amen. But I know you've got the wisdom to tell me what to do. Amen. Will you make that a practice of your life? Now, folks, you just do it one day and you may get wisdom for one day, but you do it every day and you'll get wisdom for every day. You need to depend upon God's wisdom. You need to ask him every day, even in small little things of life, say, God, give me wisdom. I told our people sometimes, Sunday school or sometimes, I asked for wisdom for things you wouldn't believe. And I'm not going to tell you all they are, but if the very little, smallest, minute things, on a constant basis, I ask for God's help. I have to, because I need him. Most time, I don't know what to do. And I need God's wisdom. Now, you young people, will you start asking for wisdom? When? Every day. Will you do that? And will you know that God will give it to you? You go to him with a precious heart, a yielding heart. Say, God, I need your wisdom. Do you know God will give you that wisdom? Yes, he will. You know why? He loves you and he never, ever will go against his word. His word is true. It's right. So you ask God for wisdom, okay? I hope all the adults, I hope you start that too. If you haven't already started, you may do that already. But if you don't, ask God for wisdom. You need it, I need it, we all need the wisdom of God. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, once again, I thank you today for your goodness and your kindness and your grace. And Lord, thank you for the wisdom of God. According to your word, we'd be pretty much fools if we would reject the wisdom that you have for us. And God, we ask you to help us to take that instructions, that teachings, and Lord, listen to them and help us along the way that we just be what you want us to be. Now, I pray, Father, that tonight you'll take this simple message, use it for your glory, that we may be more like you. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, we invite you to come. There's a need tonight. You come. Just come on. Come on. Say, God, I'm going to ask you every day for the wisdom I need. Fellas, stand over there somewhere. You can go over here, ladies. You can go over here if you want to. Right over here. Be fine. And still have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Serve me and guide me, Master, today. Humbly I bow. Thine own way, Lord. Thine own way. Near and near.
Help me, I pray. Power of thy word. Surely is mine. Touch me and heal me. Surely mine.
You know, this preacher would ask you, this evening, if God said to you, you ask whatever you want, what would you ask for? What would be the first thing that would come to your mind that you'd want to ask God for? It reveals a lot about our spiritual condition, okay? We need to get our hearts right. We need to do right. We need to have the things of God more important than the things of this world.